We're back. I don't know if you knew that. Anyway. Future Dominic, could you make my voice sound really echoey right now?
Like I'm underneath a well, like I'm slowly falling into a well, and then you can't hear me anymore because I'm inside a well, and the well's getting deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, and my voice is getting lower and lower and lower, and you can't hear me anymore because we're all.
Anyway. It's crazy to think that that specific audio clip, it's over a year old now. I made that a year ago. That's crazy to me to think. I have to update that. Oh yeah, but you know what? This one's better. Welcome back, everybody, ladles and germs. We're back in the set. It's beautiful to be back in the set of Independent Incidentals here on Radio Laurier. For you listening in the future, you can tune into all the episodes live every other week, bi-weekly, starting from this week onwards. I can't be burpy doing the read. Hold on. Okay. I think we're good. You can tune in to all of the episodes live every other Thursday. Every other Thursday from 3 to 4 every other Wednesday. What am I talking about? Hold on. I gotta wake up. All right, here we go. One more time. Ready? Every other Wednesday, starting from this Wednesday, bi-weekly Wednesdays from 3 to 4 p.m., I'll be here in the studio, and now you don't have an excuse because you're not doing any school. You don't have a job. You have the obligation to tune in to Radio Laurier Independent Incidentals, all right? Radio Laurier's Independent Incidentals requires you to tune in. Alrighty? We're going to talk about great things. We're going to talk about the manosphere. We're going to talk about being an alpha male. We're going to talk about creatine. We're going to talk about diet. We're going to talk about raw cheese, raw meat. On all seriousness, it's great to be back, everybody. And I have quite the lineup for everybody. I think everyone's seen the post by this point, because apparently Instagram's telling me it has about 40 impressions. At least that's what it told me last time. 93 impressions. Y'all have no excuses. Y'all have no excuses to not tune in now. All right. That's what I'm talking about. We're going to be talking about a lot of games, right? I got so much games done. I didn't get any games done during the break. I hibernated during that entire week. You know what I wanted to do during that break? I wanted to play some games. I wanted to beat some games, right? The problem is that when you have school back to back like that, and you don't really care about, what's the word? Regimenting yourself and doing things that you actually like, you get burnt out. It's crazy, I know. It's kind of ridiculous. I agree. I concur with you. But the idea was that I would hibernate during the Easter week, right? Just have a nice, respectful Easter week, have some fun times, to go meet some cousins I haven't seen in like a year and a half, etc., right? And then I'd come back and I would do all the work I wanted to do for the show. Problem is that I was kind of busy doing other things. What was I doing, you may ask? Let me think. Nothing, really. He really wasn't doing anything. No, you know, that's a lie. You know what I was doing? I was being really studious. I was reading. I'm gonna pull up my story graph. If you don't know what a story graph is, it's like Goodreads, but better, because it gives you all the analytics of every single book that you've ever read, right? You can import your Goodreads account into your story graph account. It's great. This is not a promotion. I just like it because it's cool, right? During the month of April, right, I read, within the last like week and a half of it, over 600 pages of two specific books. I think it was Discworld's, Terry Pratchett's, what was it called? Again, Interesting Times, where it involved a funny wizard who got teleported to a different continent and had to figure out how to stop a revolution from, you know, causing a muck and just leading to their ultimate demise. Through his own special cowardice, which I enjoyed a lot. And then there was one that I've been meaning to get to for a very long time, which I finally finished, which was The Golden Hourglass. No, was that what it was called? No. What was it called again? It was, what's his name? Pullman. It's his Dark Materials series. Now, if you don't know the Dark Materials series, the entire claim to fame about this series is that it involved, was one of the first actual the first works of fiction to involve multiverses, right? The idea that there's an infinite amount of different parallel universes, which, let's just say that the MCU's been relying on a lot.
Actually, I think that's actually bad storytelling, because you can just write that Spider-Man, like, can shoot, like, poison webs and stuff, and it doesn't really add to the continuity and makes me not really care about the characters. So if anything, Pullman was actually a detriment to our society.
I don't know exactly what I'm talking about. This is going to be a bit freeform, because we're just getting back into the swing of things, everybody. Welcome back. This is episode 21, by the way. I don't know if you knew that. I was talking to Nate earlier about, like, what I want from this show, what I want to do with this show specifically. And I was like, getting to episode 100 is definitely, I talked about this on the last episode, what was that, a month ago? Yeah. I want to get to episode 100. There's no doubt about that, right? I just don't know if it's feasible or not, right? Because the other thing I was doing is trying to set up my co-op program, trying to understand the ins and outs and trying to understand like what I needed to do for it. Because there was a lot of applications I need to get through. And unfortunately, I left it to the very last minute because I was too busy reading. You can't have too many of a you can't do good things in life because it always catches up to you, right? You can't enjoy life anymore because you gotta keep working, man. You're back to the grindstone, man. Get back in your little mill. You're supposed to be spinning the gigantic wheels of that mill, man. You're supposed to make me bread. You're supposed to make me bread right now, and you're not making me bread. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Like, do you know, like, the mill, like, the thing that you push and then, like, it makes bread? It grinds up bread? What was I talking about? Right, the show list. We got Disco Elysium, something I've been talking about a lot, and something I haven't really found the time to get through because of other things. Like, Stardew Valley, for example. I've been playing that a hell of a lot, I'll tell you that much. Let's just say I spent most of my 2 a.m. midnight hours playing Stardew Valley when I should be doing other things. Maybe. Into the Breach is another episode I wanted to get into a lot because it's a very fun game. It's one of the first roguelikes that I truly got into before Hades and all those other kind of games. Hades would be a good one to add to this list. I haven't like covered Hades in a while, but I want to cover it when the second one comes out. I said that about Hollow Knight too, but I was like, it's going to take another year for Silksong to come out, so I didn't really think it was wise for me to hold out on Hollow Knight for that long. Besides the point. Baldur's Gate? Baldur's Gate's fun. If you watched episode 19 of the show, where I had Daniel on, we talked about D&D a whole heck of a lot, and Baldur's Gate is very, 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 very close to D&D. It has all the entire set pieces from D&D. It has all the statistics, all of the systems, all of the different classes, races, items, etc. But more. Anyway, yeah, it's just another fun little game. I want to play more with Daniel before I cover that episode, though. So, that'll take a bit, unfortunately. And, of course, The Death of Flash. I talked to Tocardo in the episode 17, 18, somewhere around there. One of the interviews, if you want to tune into those will be up in a couple of days, actually. So I'll send you the Instagram story, and you can catch up on those in your own time. Don't worry about it. But besides the point, welcome back, everybody. Isn't it so lovely? You can just, you, me, and then we can just sit in this beautiful, beautiful space. It's beautiful, really. It's like a little pocket of time. It's a little pocket where I can share the time with you, and you can share the time with me, and we can live in harmony and, you know, just vibe. How was your day? I want to like a POV dating sim where you can date the host of Independent Incidentals. Hey, how's it going? I heard this spot's pretty good. You want to do an escape room with me? You have like the first option in the dating sim is to choose whether you want to play video games with him or you want to go to an escape room. And if you pick the video game option, you immediately lose. Oh, man. I am curious how that exact plot would transpire. Specifically, was trying to get my own, like, caricature down, because I obviously exaggerate everything for the show. I make sure that everything is top-notch, everything is cranked to 11 when I'm trying to do this show specifically. So, when think about a game about dating me, the host of Independent Incidentals, thinking about that specifically, how would you go about doing that? Like, what what kooky little hijinks would I get up to? Would I just have like, hey babe, you want to go to my room? And it's just like me with all my like Hollow Knight plushies. There's like a poster of Pizza Tower, and and I have a minifigure of every single NPC in Stardew Valley, and it's just like, oh, you want to see my Funko Pop collection? You know the Hulk one is bigger than the rest. Hey, if anyone's a real one, they'll get that reference. I'm just saying. If anyone's a real one in this audience, they'll get that reference, okay? What I wanted to do, too, is I wanted to get more hosts on, obviously. I want to get more guests, I mean. I want to get more guests on the show. Unfortunately, everyone's gone. Everyone's ditched me. Everyone's left because it's not the school season anymore, and I'm kind of just trapped here. I'm trapped. Did I mention that? Did I mention why I'm here in the first place? Why I'm even, like, in Waterloo still? I have to do a co-op program. Well, I don't have to do a co-op program. I mentioned now I had to look for jobs. But the easiest way to look for jobs in the tech industry is not to look for jobs. Because that sucks. And I've heard stories where people have to send over 200... resumes and cover letters and all that fun stuff just to get like a one interview that doesn't even go anywhere, right? The easiest way is to just get your foot in the door as soon as possible with as much opportunities as possible. So in this case, co-op, right? I wanted to make sure I got my foot in the door as quick as possible without having to really have too much experience. Problem is that you still need to have experience in projects and all that kind of jazz, and I have been stalling on that a lot. But it's fine, because I'm working on a project right now. Hopefully it gets done in the interim. But it has to do with cards. Aren't you excited? Isn't that such a cool idea? I thought so. Isn't that so cool? I'm a game developer. What if I want to make a game about cards? That'd be cool. Stop! You don't know what you're doing. Please. I just want to have, like, energy and... No! No! Please! You can't do that! You're going to oversaturate the market. And what are we going to do with our games? The tech builders won't have any place to breathe. They want... I don't know. I just wanted to make a cool game about... You don't know what you're doing, man. Quibbly, go back to your room, please.
Okay, Dad.
End scene. Fantastic. That's another bit down the hatch. I need to make a compilation of video of all the bits in the entire series of this show. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me what the imagination can do. Quibbly will be a recurring character. He will come back, by the way. You keep an eye out for him. He'll be an Easter egg. If you ever see him, shout, "I spotted Quibbly," in the comments, please. I'd love for you all to fully immerse yourself in the Quibbly lore, please. Isn't Quibbly like a Smiling Friends character? I swear to God, I don't know. I'm debasing myself, trying to figure out exactly. Hold on. Wait. Okay. I'll have to wait for people to file in, but for now we're just stalling a little bit. We're having a little bit of a stall. I'm having too much fun. I need to tone it down. Hold on.
Welcome back, everybody. Today we'll be talking about video games. We'll be talking about video games. Video games are so fun to me as a consumer.
You know what I want to talk about too, specifically, right? It's not just about games as a medium, right? It's about the industry that involves it, right? I want to talk more about the actual games. I don't want to talk about just the games, sorry. I want to talk about the ecosystem they exist in, right? Because at the end of the day, it's interesting to me. It's not just like... Obviously, I talk about a lot of indie games that make it look simple, right? But these games take a very long time to produce, right? We talked about Balatro, which took about, like, 6 years of development and just working on the game while working a normal IT job. Just having, like, that little spark of passion underneath, like, just having a normal job. Or talking about even in the future, Eric Barone, or Barone, the creator of Stardew Valley, who literally spent 4.5 years, 10 hours a day working on this game, right? Probably even more, if I had to guess. It's like, if you want to actually get your game out there in a reasonable time frame, you have to have a full studio behind it. But at the same time, I feel like there's a lot of overproduction that happens during that time as well, which is something I want to kind of touch up upon, especially when it comes to, like, you know, Baldur's Gate is not a AAA game, definitely not, but it's not an indie game either. It's a full studio. So you have to kind of relish that idea of, okay, how did this company come up in the first place? How did Larian Studios work back in the day? And then figure out, trace a path from that specifically to the full extent of, like, how they're able to get, like, I guess, influential in a way? Like, how much influence do you have to have in order to be a AAA studio? Is it what I'm trying to get? Because AAA is not really a set-in-stone thing. It's not like, okay, you have 300 employees. It's probably, like, a range, sure. But I don't think it's set in stone. Definitely not. It comes as well as, like, contract work as well, because it's not just, like, people who are hired on, but it's also the composers who have to make their stuff, and also, like, the other artists that come on just to do that specific thing. Obviously, as we get more and more progressively, diluted in a way, when people focus more on the actual extent of their graphics rather than a good style, I think that's the main thing. Style is the encompassing idea of a game. Like, you have, like, the vibe, the tangible vibe of a video game, right? But when you actually dive deeper into it, it has to do more so with, like, the people who are actually involved. It can't just be manufactured. Someone has to come up with that, right? And we're kind of seeing that with AI, too. Like, you notice, like, when it makes, like, an image or it makes whatever, it just has this kind of glossy texture. Like, I can immediately, that's AI, right? And additionally, even if it was perfect, even if it could perfectly replicate a style or a theme, it's not its style. It's replicating the exact style, maybe
by proxy, but it isn't its style. It's being told what style it should have rather than cultivating one on its own, right? Until we get to that point with AI, I don't think it's going to be replacing any of the creative process anytime soon. There was that one company who tried to replace all their employees with AI, or like most of them anyway. But they realized, oh yeah, we need to actually have people we can talk to, because we're humans. I don't get it. Like it doesn't make any sense to me that you're trying to chase, like, obviously you're trying to chase money, right? It easy cut costs. You don't have to pay an employee. You just have to pay like 12 cents an hour or whatever, 12 cents a minute using AI, right? Easy. But at the end of the day, it's like you obviously still have to talk to humans, because that's what makes us human. You can't just work on your own. You can't work on your own, no. You can work on your own. That's fine. But you need to have communication with other people, right? Imagine if you try to get the AIs to do something by themselves. They don't know what to do. They need someone to lord over them. They need to make sure that the systems are maintained. It's like if you try to, like, put a screwdriver down and you ask it to unscrew something for you, right? It's not going to do it by itself. It's the same thing when you ask an AI to think for something, right? Try to figure out a process, trying to understand something, trying to parse data, right? It's not going to just do it by itself. You need to give it directives. You need to make sure that it's like, it's the same reason why ChatGPT has like the opening sentence of "I'm an instructional assistant" or whatever, like the system message, right? I took one course, by the way. I don't know if I'm actually talking good stuff. Do your own research, of course. But I'm just saying, this is the kind of topics I want to kind of dive more into when we're talking about this stuff. Like, obviously, we can just talk about the games themselves, which is definitely going to be a main aspect. Like, how do you create these systems? And how do these systems engage with the player themselves? How do they make the game fun? How do they make the narrative more concise or perhaps even impactful on the person, right? Like, for example, I don't know, I'm never going to talk about it, so this is like just an out-there example. How does Metal Gear Rising Revengeance interact with the political space, and how does that interact with how people's ideals are manufactured, right? By media and stuff like that. It's engaging to me, because it's like... video games are more than just a game. They're a medium, right? And let me get in my high chair real quick. There's actually, it's art, really. Let me take a big swig of my cigar. Smoky. Let me whisk you away into what I'm trying to say here. Basically, the idea is that video games are more the conceptualization of giving the player control. Right? Obviously, you can take away that control. Obviously, you can lead them down a specific path of a story, right? Like, Metal Gear Rising Revengeance is a linear game. Mario's a linear game. All these games that used to come out before are linear, and they tell impactful stories because they're written, right? How do you tell an open-world game? How do you tell something like Zelda? Obviously, it's going to lose some of the impactfulness because you can't predict where the player's going to be going, right? How does The Witcher tell its story? How does Baldur's Gate tell its story, right? How do you make choices in games? How do those games impact the... How do those choices impact the I guess, behavior of the game, right? And how do indie games aspire to be like that? How does someone like Eric Baroni use his own development kit to make such an impactful game, even though there's not, like... There's not that much writing to it, right? It's just a couple of set pieces that are put together where if you increase someone's stat high enough, then you get to see a spark of them, right? A little sliver of that NPC's life. And you still get attached to those people. I remember Demetrius. I remember Abigail and all these other characters. How do those characters interact with the player? How do you tell a story that's based on character choice, on player choice, I mean, you know? Those kind of questions. And obviously, we're going to get a whole bunch of interviewers who are going to also dissect those questions as well with me, like we did with Torquato and also Alpha something. And I'm excited for that, because I want to not only just talk to the people who are developing these games, but I want to talk about the artists, you know? I want to talk about the people who conceptualize the art for them. I want to talk to the people who create the sound effects, for example. I want to talk to the people who, I don't know, manage the economics behind it, you know? Who deals with the finances, right? If you're making a multiplayer game, who deals with, like, the cybersecurity? How do people deal with hackers and stuff like that? I haven't been building that much multiplayer games, so I wouldn't know. But doesn't matter. Point is, this is the kind of things that are going to be discussed during Independent Incidental. So please, if you're curious, tune in. We're going to have a quick intermission, and then we're just going to do some closing notes at the very end. So stick around. I do like Fish in a Birdcage. You know why? Because there's going to be a concert soon. I think it's in about a week and a half. Yeah. No, it's exactly 2 weeks. Look at that. On the 11th, there's a Fish in a Birdcage concert with Schaefer James, who we talked about like a year ago with Carissa, which is fun, which is cool, which I'm excited for. And I am I hope you'll be there, I guess. I hope you'll be there. I do like Four Aces, but it has kind of that weird Tumblr vibe, so I'm not going to play it here, okay? You can listen to that on your own. He does also have, like, a bunch, like, how Fish in a Birdcage kind of operates is he just splits all the songs into a separate rule. I don't know why he put Rule 34 in there, but you know what? Hey, that's besides the point. I won't judge. You know what? Hey, I respect your opinion. What we played earlier was Rule 13, Waterfall. But I think, what was a good one? Something that's not too sad, because I don't want to get too sad on the mic. He makes some sad songs, but they have kind of that hopeful feeling to them. I could also do some Schaefer James, maybe. I don't know. It's up to you guys. I'll do... I'm having indecisiveness. I'm just gonna do Four Aces. You know what? Screw it. We're going all in. Tumblr people, you have your pie as well. I'm sure of it. Tumblr people of all ages, I'm sure you'll love this song. Anyway, enjoy. You see what I mean? It's kind of like that has that kind of weird, I don't know. I still like it though. It's still a fun story. I would also do that, by the way, if that was me. Just saying on the record, I would totally go crazy like that. It's for real. If a roach of a man like that did indeed try to quote unquote shoot my woman down, I would definitely retaliate, dude. I'm just saying, you don't want to see me when I'm angry. That's what I'm talking about. The alpha male has to. I can't joke like that. It's crazy that people actually believe that kind of stuff. It's crazy to me, you know. Like it's. Call me simple minded, right? Call me a crazy person, but isn't it weird that we kind of create this environment where obviously, like, the one gender is on top and then the other gender is kind of like put down and we constantly beat them down? Isn't that kind of weird? I don't understand it, to be honest with you, but maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm just a little idiot. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a little silly. I don't know. Just saying, just putting it out there. Anyway. That's my little hot take for the day. Treat everyone the exact same as you would any other person. That's my lesson to you, the audience, which I love with a burning passion and a big toothy grin. Yeah. So, what are we gonna be talking about 2 weeks from now? Well, I want to make sure that we have enough material. So obviously, Disco Elysium has to be done, all right? I have to finally beat that game. That's, like, my one main goal, right? To beat Disco Elysium before it becomes a year when I'll be very sad and that I bought it when I shouldn't have bought it, right? So just get that game done, and then we can spend an entire game, the entire episode on the game itself, and then talk about the company behind it, because there's a lot of internal conflict behind the scenes, which I haven't fully gotten into because I don't want to ruin the game for me. So I'm gonna enjoy the art first, and then we're gonna talk about the full company and the full resolute aspect behind what happened during the development cycle and how that went wrong, even though it made such a good game. So we'll go across that. I think that's like the first main thing after that. We'll see. I don't know. I was hoping to get a guest for the Stardew Valley episode. If you're interested, let me know. But other than that, I think, look, I can say this. It's been over like 4 months, right? I meant to get my ex. Well, at the time, wasn't my ex, but now is my ex. I was meaning to get her on the show for like the entire time. The problem is it was long distance and she lived in Europe and yada, yada, yada. Besides the point, I was trying to get her for this specific episode because literally Stardew Valley is the place where our relationship started, which was very interesting. It's kind of like that sort of inciting incident of like how games can actually cause that to happen, which is very interesting to me. It's like, it's not only just like a game, but like it's space for you to communicate with other people and that kind of aspect, which is weird. It was extremely weird when it happened. I was taken aback almost. So we'll talk about that for sure during the Stardew Valley episode, which might be the next episode or it might not be. I don't know. We'll figure it out next week. I'll send in a little update for you guys and you guys can check it out yourselves, okay? You guys can be good now, okay? You guys be all right.
Etc. I hope that everyone has a fantastic week. We're back. I'm so excited to be back. And it's beautiful also to see that the entire forest is in full bloom. So, we'll see how it goes. I'll see you all next week. One more thing. Wait.
There's just one more thing that I wanted to talk about.
Right. Radio Laurie is going to be moving studios. I don't think it matters too much, but keep in mind that there might be some dips in quality depending on whether or not they can get the full roster, the full suite in, because it depends on how much they can move at one time, right? So I don't know. They could get like the full setup, but they won't have maybe like the protective foam that makes the space a little bit more acoustic, perhaps? I don't know. We'll see. But it should be better because there will be an air conditioning unit. And even if it runs, even if it sounds like hell, I don't care. You can suffer a little bit of buzzing in the background. I think it would be better, honestly, because it's a little bit of white noise for you. You love white noise. I think the kids love white noise. I talk to all of my friends, all of my Zoomer friends who love white noise, and they love white noise. What's the deal with that? They listen to it when they go to sleep. They listen to it when they wake up. They listen to it when they're studying. They listen to it when they eat dinner. I don't know. The world is an absolute f***, and I don't know what to tell you. So hopefully everything figures itself out and we'll be back on track for next week. Well, the week after that, because it's bi-weekly now. So, see you next Wednesday, or the Wednesday after that. See you next Wednesday. That will be actually during... Holy, I can actually... That'd be pretty cool. I'll be able to give you a quick rundown of the concert beforehand. Maybe that's what I'll do it about. You know, yeah. Yeah, I'll talk about Schaefer James, and I'll talk about the Fish in a Birdcage concert before I go to the Fish in a Birdcage concert, and then I can talk about it after the Fish in a Birdcage concert, and you guys can be tuning in for both of those episodes. Isn't that fun? Doesn't that sound fun? I'm sure it does. Anyway, I hope you all have a fantastic summer. Hopefully you go on vacation.
Let me know how it goes.
And I'll see you all in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.